Could you turn with me, please, to Revelation and chapter 22? Revelation and chapter 22. We'll read from verse number 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. What's upon my heart this afternoon is the beginning of verse number 4, and they shall see his face. We considered in the Bible reading, now this is the generation of them that seek after thee, after him that seek thy face. I would that we would be amongst the people that seek the face of our Lord Jesus Christ, to consider him. We're amongst those of whom Peter spoke of. We have not seen him, whom having not seen, we love. We rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. But I would that this little truth might just be impressed upon our heart. We shall see his face. There is a day coming when we shall gaze upon that one who loved us and bought us with his own precious blood. I sometimes wonder what it would be like when we first cast our eyes upon the Son of God. Our experiences are earthly, and sometimes we use earthly things to understand. What would it be like to grasp hold of a hand and look up to find it's the hand of the Saviour? What would it be like to lay your head upon the pillow at night and wake in the morning to find that you've awoken to the day which is eternal? What would it be like to walk upon the seashore and the ground upon which you stand is celestial? Beloved, what will it be like to gaze up into the face of our beloved, to cast our eyes upon our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we can seek after his face down here. We can consider him in all his loveliness and in all his beauty, and we can delight in that. But down here we just, as it were, have a fleeting glimpse through the pages of Scripture to view the face of our beloved. But we shall see his face. That day is coming when we will gaze upon the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. We could consider the Greeks who came to Philip in John chapter 12, I think it is, and they said, we would see Jesus. Is there that longing within our heart? Is there that true desire to be with Christ, which is far better? To set our affections upon him, to see his face, we would see Jesus. The psalmist in Psalm 27, he said this, when thou saith, seek my face, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I see. Or that we might seek the face of Christ. You know, Mary, she had that privilege for over 30 years of gazing upon the face of Christ. What a privilege that was. It caused her to hear the things that he said and to store those things in her heart. looking, gazing in adoration, in wonder and love upon the face of Christ. You know, to speak face to face, that's what the Apostle John said in the last of his two epistles. The last two epistles, he said, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto thee shortly and speak face to face. And he says, that our joy might be full. To be face to face is a place of closeness, a place of fellowship, a place of delight, a place of joy. You remember the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, and he was with the believers upon the seashore, and he was going. They wept that day. They fell upon his neck and they kissed him, but the thing that grieved them the most is that he had told them, they shall see his face no more. But beloved, for us it's the very opposite to them. Because there's a day coming when we shall see his face forever, forever. Have they wept that they would see his face no more? I'll allow you, brethren and sisters, just to let a tear run down the cheek when you think of that truth that you'll see his face forever. Ponder these words that we've read, and we shall see his face. The face is very expressive. It's by the face that you know someone. If I asked you to line up your feet, it's likely I wouldn't recognize who you are. But the moment I look upon your face, I see you. And I know you. And I understand what you're going through by looking upon your face. I can see whether you're happy or whether you're sad. I can see whether you're concerned or sorrowful. I can see whether you're at peace just by looking upon a person's face. I can see if I'm welcome in your presence just by the look on one's face. And we're going to just have a look upon the face of Christ. We're going to see him this afternoon by faith and through the language of Scripture. It will delight our hearts to see the face of Christ. There'll be times when it might cause us much sorrow to see him in anguish and in pain, but I would that we would just look and gaze and wonder upon the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can read the face. The Lord Jesus taught that. He's speaking to the Jews or to the disciples. He said, you can read the face of the sky. And by reading the face of the sky, you'll know what the weather will be tomorrow. Their problem is that they couldn't read the signs of the time. The Lord Jesus, after he prayed, he spoke to his disciples and he said, don't be like the Jews, don't be like the hypocrites. Because what they do is they disfigure their face. And then they go out with that disfigured face to try to give the appearance that they're more godly and they're more sacrificing than what they really were. But the Lord says to them, what you do is you wash your face, because fasting, it's between you and God. You see the face, it gives away the person and what they're going through. You remember Joseph of old? There in Egypt, and his brethren came to him in the house, and Joseph's face was going to give him away. And he had to go out of the room, and he wept out of the room, and he washed his face, because it was going to give away who he was. You remember Stephen, when he was before the council, and he spoke to them, and we read there that they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And they apprehended him and brought him before the council. And they brought up false witnesses and accused him. But even those that were against Stephen, as they looked upon his face, they had to understand the truth. Because they saw his face as it were the face of an angel. His face told the truth of what was happening. brethren and sisters, we shall see his face. We will gaze upon our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I'd like you to see the face of the perfect servant. When you think of the face of the perfect servant, you would notice that one, he is steadfast, his face is steadfast towards Jerusalem. His face is steadfast. And in that we would see something of that determination. His face was, as it were, towards Jerusalem. And as the perfect servant, we see determination in the Lord Jesus in his face. You would come with me to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there we have another glimpse of the face of the Lord Jesus. We see that he's prostrate upon his face. We can see him there prostrate upon his face, and he's in conflict of soul. The conflict there is not a conflict of wills. Don't ever view Gethsemane as a conflict between the will of the Father and the will of the Son. The conflict is the contemplation of the cross that lay before him. The Lord Jesus, he had endured the storms of life and had slept through them in the boat. But when it came to Gethsemane, we're told concerning his face that he was sore amazed. There was an intensity and there was a type of suffering that humanity had never known before in Gethsemane, when he was prostrate upon his face. We see in that his desire, his will, to do the will of the Father. As the perfect servant, we would see his determination, turning neither to the right hand nor to the left, but proceeding through life, following the Father's will. And at Gethsemane, you would see his will and the Father's is the same. I like the way that Matthew puts it when he records the Garden of Gethsemane. The second occasion that he mentions that the Lord Jesus prayed, he says, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." In other words, he's saying, if this is the only way, if this is the only means, I'm willing, I'll do it. You can see something of the desire upon the face of the Son of God. Maybe we could learn a few lessons. You're servants of the Most High God. You're in service of the King. Is there in your life that determination? Turning not aside from that which you know is right. Is there within your heart that desire just to serve him? You know, there's a day coming, brethren and sisters, and we're emphasizing this point, we shall see his face. All the wonder. We will see the face of the perfect servant, and we'll give account of our service. I often think of the words of the hymn writer. I don't know how doctrinally correct they are, because I wouldn't view heaven as a place of regrets. But down here now we can appreciate and understand the sentiments of the hymn writer when he penned those words. By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. By and by, when he holds out his hands, welcoming hands, nail-pierced hands. By and by, when he holds out his hands, I'll wish I had given him more. More, so much more. More of my life than I'd e'er given before. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. The face of the perfect servant. And we shall see his face. I want you to consider now the face of the Saviour. The face of the Saviour. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The psalmist in Psalm 80, three times over he says that he has caused his face to shine upon me, and I'm preserved, I'm saved. The face of Christ, the face of the Saviour. You know, the believers, they sing these words, face to face with Christ my Saviour. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me, to view the face of the Saviour. As we think of the face of the Saviour, we would not only see him as the Saviour of the soul, but the preserver of Christian life. Are you going through times of trouble? Are you going through times of disappointment or heartache? Are you going through times of confusion or circumstances and you don't understand or know the reason why? Take a little time out just to gaze upon the safe face of the Saviour. Look upon the one that invested his own life in your salvation and know that he careth for thee. I sometimes think of Peter when he denied the Lord. It was a sad time in the life of Peter, but that failure, it's not final. And the Lord Jesus, he looked upon Peter. We often make much of the Lord looking upon Peter, and it's good. We should do. But I sometimes think, you know, that look of the Lord upon Peter, it would have had no effect if Peter wasn't looking upon the face of the Lord that day. And sometimes we get a little cold in heart. Sometimes we get a little backslidden or in times of sorrow, and it seems so long to get back to Christ. And I just wonder, is it because we seem to refuse just to look upon his face? Brethren and sisters, we shall see his face. What a delightful moment. When first we cast our eyes upon the Son of God, and for the very first time we look upon the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've thought of the face of the servant, the face of the Saviour. You know, we could think of the face of the judge. Peter, in his first epistle, he says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and he, his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We'd not be like that, would we not? We wouldn't be amongst them that do evil. We wouldn't want for the face of the Lord to be against us. We would seek to live our lives in a manner where we're not judged by our blessed Saviour. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You know, we read in Revelation 6 about a day to come. There's those who have rejected the Saviour. And during those times of tribulation, they look to the mountains and to the rocks. They seek to flee from the face of him that sits upon the throne. In that day, they will cry out for mercy, but mercy is not available to them. It's too late. They'll even seek death. They'll cry out that the rocks might fall upon them, but death itself will elude them. Oh, terrible. Dear friend, have you found yourself to meet the face of the judge when the time of salvation is past? You know, as the believers here this afternoon rejoice in this knowledge, we shall see his face. I want you to think carefully and understand that if you linger in your sins, you too will see the face of him. It won't be the face of the Saviour, but the face of the Judge. I want you to consider now the face of the Man of Sorrows. You know, when you think upon the face of the Lord Jesus, it brings delight and joy to the heart. But there's times when it brings sorrow as well. And as we think of the Lord Jesus in sorrow and suffering, he could say through the words of the prophet Isaiah, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. The face of the Man of Sorrows. Many were astonished at thee, his visage so marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. What would it be just to consider the face of the Man of Sorrows? Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. You know, when it comes to the record of the time leading up to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, the synoptic gospels are very similar in the way they present the Lord Jesus there. But when it comes to mentioning his face, the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all mention the face of the Lord Jesus, but in a different aspect. With Matthew, we read, and they did spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hand. They spat in the face of the Saviour. Job understood what that was. It is really the greatest insult that someone could do to a man, to spit in their face. Job, he could say, they abhor me. They spare not to spit in my face. And I thought upon that and thought, you know, to spit in his face, it shows the hatred of man against the Son of God, the face of the Man of Sorrows. You know, when it came to the Levitical law, if a man who was unclean spat in the face of one who was clean, that person, they had to go and wash themselves, and they themselves would be unclean until the evening. But not so with the Son of God. Not so with him. He would not only be clean, but he was moving towards Calvary, where he would make available for sinners to be clean through his death upon the cross. The Lord used his spittle. He used it to make the clay to anoint the eyes of the blind. He used it to allow the dumb to talk and for the deaf to hear. But men in their hatred spat upon the face of the Man of Sorrows. When we come to Mark's Gospel, we read in Mark's Gospel, he mentions that they spat upon him, but when it comes to the face, we read, and some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him, saying unto him, prophesy, and the servants did strike him with the palms of their hand. So Mark in his gospel, when he mentions a face, he mentions that they covered his face. And I've thought upon that is that that was their unbelief. They didn't believe who the Lord Jesus was. And in order in their mind to prove it, they covered his face and we're asking him to prophesy who it was that smote him. We don't read that the Lord responded to such taunts like that. But as the Man of Sorrows, he allowed them. He allowed them to cover his face. You know, God would soon cover their face. During the hours of darkness, God would clothe this earth, and their own faces would be covered. Very soon God would hide his face from them. You know, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he tried to hide from the face of God. They tried to cover the face of the Man of Sorrows. Luke, he tells us this, and when they had blindfolded him, They struck him on the face. So he emphasizes the smiting upon the face. I've thought of that as the cruelty of men. Once they had blindfolded the Lord Jesus, there's many things that they could have asked him to prophesy about. But in their cruelty towards the Son of God, they smote him upon the face of the man of sorrows. I want you to think of the face of the man of glory. We have a little vision of this upon the Mount of Transfiguration. We're told there, and he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. Here we see a radiance upon the face of Christ. Here we see a radiance that likely man had never seen before. You know, it's likened as to the shining of the sun. It's not the shining of the moon. You see the moon, its light is reflective light. But the sun, it's a source of light. And here these three disciples, they had the privilege of gazing upon the Lord Jesus Christ in all his radiance and all his beauty. Brethren and sisters, we shall see his face. We shall gaze upon him in all his majesty. We shall see the face of Christ. Oh, what a delightful moment that would be. Survey the beauties of his face and on his glories dwell. Think of the wonders of his grace and all his triumphs tell. The face of Christ. Does it thrill the heart to consider the face of Christ? To view him in these different ways and understanding that we have an expectation. We shall see his face. We shall delight in him for all eternity. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. Or to think, to long at that moment when faith gives way to sight, and we shall look in delight upon the face of Christ. Moses could say to the nation of Israel, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." We shall see his face.